everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
Butt fumble aside, it's possible we had the worst turnover of all time yesterday. The Raiders, nobody's home on that pitch. But the Jets saw that, said, hold my butt, fumble. Take my ball, please. What's going on here? The national paddle on the Chiefs lost, Dak dud, NBA in China, and Uber. Will there be a better win this season than at Kansas City on Sunday night? Touchdown and a half underdogs. Indy 19, Kansas City 13. How the Colts did something no one has done since Texas Tech. Hold Mahomes to 13. And whether they pronounce themselves contenders. Israel Gutierrez, start there. How did the Colts do this? Are they contenders?
I would back off a little bit on the contender status here. I think Patrick Mahomes told you after the game what he was looking at. Is it the two teams in a row, first the Lions and now the Indianapolis Colts, that have done a couple of things. They have run the ball down their throat, and Marlon Mack had a great game last night, and they played a lot of man coverage defensively. When you don't have Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, some of that speed, you can play man, and you can get these receivers covered. And I think that makes life more difficult for Patrick Mahomes. You throw on top of that the ankle injury in that third quarter, probably limited some of his mobility, and it doesn't look like the Kansas City Chiefs of old. It looks like they need to obviously get healthy, one, maybe recalibrate a little bit and just sort of get their stuff together before, you know, when everybody gets healthy, and you'll see this team that can put up 40.
All right, 40. Not a word there on the Indianapolis Colts after the first 5 seconds. Woody Page, was last night about the Colts to you, or was it about the Chiefs, like Israel just seemed to think?
Well, it's about the Chiefs, but I'll say that the Colts are contenders, A, because they play in a division that is not overpowering, and B, they're a lot better team than what we've seen in the past. I mean, given that Luck retired and you thought, well, this team is not going to be any good, they have an excellent running game. They have a good defense overall. I think this is a team that actually has a very good chance to win that division. In regard to the Chiefs, you talk about the injuries that came up that Israel mentioned, but I think it's more important that they worked to improve that defense during the offseason, but they didn't really improve the defensive line. I think that was a concern. You brought it up, Israel, but it's been four straight games where they've given up more than 150 yards rushing, 182 last night. This is a team that can't stop the run. Teams have figured it out after five games now.
Ramona Shelburne, what did you figure out after last night?
Yeah, when you can't stop the run, that also means that Patrick Mahomes is not on the field. And, you know, when he was on the field, they couldn't protect him. I mean, he was sacked four times last night. And the previous part of the season, he was sacked three times. He was running for his life out there on a bum ankle. And so I think Indianapolis, to me, I think contender status is a little much right now. They rebuilt that offensive line to help try to protect Andrew Luck a little bit. It's not like Jacoby Brissett's lighting the world on fire, but they're better. But this is more about the Chiefs.
Win at Kansas City on Sunday night, Kevin. Like I said, that might be the best win of the season so far. You see what the Colts did last night or what the Chiefs didn't do?
Well, I'll talk about the Colts. Let's not forget that if Andrew Luck was there, this was a team that we said was a contender to get out of the AFC. Now he's been replaced by a top 20 quarterback in the NFL who is managing them to a 3-2 record and making them a contender. That was a very good defense they had last year. It's no worse this year. And to Ramona's point, with that running game, they had a 15-minute differential in terms of time of possession yesterday. So, of course, you can win football games like that, especially when you've got a Chiefs team that is hobbled by injury and then saw Mahomes get hobbled during the game.
So you think for Kansas City, Kevin, that's all it is. It's just get healthy and
I think it is. I think it is get healthy. But I also say about their running defense, they need DBs who come up and plug holes and make tackles. It's not so much just about the defensive front seven, but you need guys to come
up. Are you volunteering yourself for service? The old monster back from Good Counsel High School?
Don't make me bring it out.
Israel Gutierrez. Last word. Mahomes, one touchdown in the last 2 weeks. That's just about not having the guys on the field for him?
I believe so. I believe it's not having the guys on the field for him. I believe his protection hasn't been especially great. But I will give you this about the Colts, Tony. There's probably only one team in the league, that's the New England Patriots, that don't have any question marks. So if you're a team that's got a winning record or even 500, you're probably a contender.
And Woody, last word.
A couple of points. A, that offensive line of the Chiefs is really decimated in injuries. And number two, Mahomes was hurt in that first game of the season, that same ankle. I don't think it's ever healed, but they're not talking about it. Hmm.
But you are Woody Page. You're the man who knows.
That's right.
Patrick Mahomes' body better than anyone else. We'll move on. Packers 34, Cowboys 24. Come on, Dak. How many of the three picks are you putting on Dak Prescott? One called back for penalty, too. How many of the pass interference and roughing calls were legit? This game was all over the place.
Oh, I hope the little darling didn't hear something he hadn't heard before.
Ramona, what did this tell you about the pack? What did this tell you about the Dak?
Well, look, I mean, I think this is about the Packers because they just keep going down to Dallas and winning big games there. They have a record down there. And this time it really wasn't about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, they scored a lot of points here, but it wasn't just Aaron pushing the ball there. They had that running game rolling. And I think for Dallas, you just have another, you're 3-2. You've lost two in a row here. Thank gosh they've got the Jets next week. But if they didn't, you got a crisis on your hands down there because this team was supposed to be great and they're not delivering in great situations.
Thank you for reminding us. You thought they were so great that they were going to win the game when you were on the show on Friday and you picked Dallas. Woody Page, join us.
Well, let's keep in mind that the Dallas Cowboys, the teams they've beaten, aren't any good. The two teams that actually were pretty good have beaten them. I believe, and I could be wrong here, Tony, and you can do whatever you want to with this, but I think the distractions with Elliott and the other distractions they had before the season are still in force there, that they haven't gotten right since all of that occurred. I think Dak Prescott, it doesn't look comfortable in the pocket. I think that the offensive line, which has some injury problems like Kansas City, really hasn't done the job that it really is supposed to do there. I think I put it all on the offense. They haven't really come up. Elliott last week had another bad game. There's some issues there.
Israel Gutierrez.
Jerry Jones said on Friday, he had a quote comparing Dak Prescott essentially to Tom Brady, in so much as that he's going to improve and evolve and become this really good quarterback. Man, he's got a lot of evolving to do if that's going to be the case. I mean, those interceptions, yeah, I put them on Dak. That late interception up down 31-17 that was intended for Randall Cobb was a terrible throw. And I don't know if he's costing himself money because he could finish the season strong and end up getting that $40 million he was hoping for, but he doesn't look like the guy, and he certainly didn't look like it against Aaron Rodgers and that team down 24-0 at some point. It also doesn't look like a team where Ezekiel Elliott can just carry them past Dak's mistakes. He has to be very good for this team to win in an elite level. And if you look at his record against winning teams, not very good. 5-9 since 2017. He's starting to be in that Kirk Cousins.
What type of level were they supposed to be winning at, Israel Gutierrez? Did I hear a word there that we're not supposed to be saying?
I think so.
Yes, Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Well, we've said all along that the key to this Cowboys team is their running game, and specifically Ezekiel Elliott. And yesterday, he only carried the ball 12 times. Why did he only carry the ball 12 times? Because they fell way behind in that game, and they had to start putting it up through the air. So once again, when you look at this team, if you can eliminate him from the game and put the ball in Dak's hands, then you've got a better shot at winning the football game, and that's exactly what the Packers did yesterday. There are still people that believe that Dak Prescott, and he looked like it yesterday, is a weak link for this team, and not the guy who was going to hold out for all this money. That
or the guy
Jones
who was number one in all ratings going into this week, too. Woody, you said that you don't think they're past their offseason when they surely look like it the first three games, but now what specifically are you seeing?
Well, as I said, they had another injury on the offensive line yesterday. That was supposed to be really good this year, and it's not protecting Dak. And as Kevin pointed out, Elliott doesn't look the same. Yes, he had a couple of good games, but he hasn't looked like the guy that was
aggressive. So you're saying the time he missed, all that time in Cabo, the time he missed is catching
it's
up
coming
to
back
him?
To haunt them and him. Yes, okay. Absolutely. Give me that money camera shot.
you want the ISO? Are you trying to direct the program now? Kegamute, go back. We'll move on. Another week in the NFL. Another example of just how thin and disappearing the line is between sports and tragedy, or what it could be. Mason Rudolph, Steelers lineman Zach Banner, quote, "I thought I just lost my friend." That's how serious this was on the field. Oh. Earl Thomas's helmet hitting the ear hole and face mask of Rudolph's helmet and his chin. Rudolph motionless. When they take off a face mask, it's usually done to ensure they can aid someone in breathing. Let that sink in for a second. The cart was brought out, but then Rudolph being walked off by staff and teammates. Some thought the cart wasn't working. Others say, oh, he was able to walk off. I don't know. Believe what you want there. KB, what's your takeaway from all this?
No, I think the cart wasn't working, and he definitely should have been carted off. Here's what I think. The one thing that disturbed me about this, the biggest thing that disturbed me about this is afterwards Earl Thomas talked about the hit. And he said he talked to the referees about whether or not he was in the strike zone. He thought he was in the strike zone. He hit the man at some point above the shoulders and in the chin. You could see that. The league has got to take that out. The strike zone can only be shoulders and below. And so I think this is when the league just has to hammer this home to guys, even like Earl Thomas, who sounded contrite somewhat after the game. You can't do that. Got to be an immediate ejection from the game. We'll deal with the other consequences later.
Israel Gutierrez?
I mean, I agree with that about the Earl Thomas. I agree with the hit being, you know, obviously above the shoulders and everything else. In terms of gruesome things that we've seen on the field, when you watch the replay, and I don't know if this is going to sound insensitive, it looked like he got hit in the jaw and knocked out. If we were watching a UFC fight, we would be celebrating that. If we were watching boxing, we would be celebrating that. It's just that football is so dangerous and so violent that we can see so much worse. So in essence, we're basically looking at it as Mason Rudolph got lucky. It really wasn't that bad, despite how it looked.
Israel, how many times have you heard a player on the field say, I thought I just lost my teammate, I lost my friend?
It looked terrible. It looked terrible. Now, again, but if he would have seen the replay, perhaps he probably wouldn't have thought that. But in the instant that it happened, yes, it's
Woody Page, how'd you see it last night?
Israel, I kind of disagree with you. If you look at the overall picture in the NFL this year, you've almost got half the quarterbacks in the league that have been injured. How many times are we seeing this over and over again where there's helmet-to-helmet hits on a quarterback? It's your most precious commodity in the league, and you're losing them everywhere. Think about all the named quarterbacks that have gone
out. Woody, I hear you say that, and I understand, you know, on an intellectual level what that is. We're just talking about people on a field, though. I don't need it to be a position-by-position thing. I don't need to see a player lying motionless on the field no matter what position they play. And here's the point. People want to say, is this a dirty hit or is it not a dirty hit? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. You have no control over... It could be the cleanest hit. If a guy is going to be lying motionless on the field, you can't have that. Go ahead, Woody. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. You've got to totally revolutionize the rules in regard to that. Do we sit here and say, don't ever touch the quarterback, that you can't do it, that you got to slow down, you got to go around him or something? You almost have to go to that point. I mean, this program can lose all four of us panelists, but they can't lose you as the host, Tony. You're
all
important.
Right. We don't need to be making light of this. Ramona, last word on what you saw with Mason Rudolph.
I mean, look, I watched this on replay, and I'm glad that I knew going into this that he ended up okay. Because when I saw Scott Van Pelt play that highlight, and I saw it over him, the man was out on his feet, and he falls down and hits his head really hard on the ground. It's hard to watch, and it's hard for any player to step on the field knowing that can happen.
I think all you have to look at is Juju Smith-Schuster's reaction on the field. And just read Zach Banner's quote after the game. That tells you everything you need to know about that play and what happened in the NFL this weekend. We'll be back, buy or sell, on the other side.
Around the Horn is brought to you by CDW. CDW, people who get it. Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Daryl Morey and the Rockets and China and the NBA. This is incredibly complex and not going away. Morey's tweet in support of Hong Kong on Saturday as the Rockets G League was preparing to play exhibitions this week in China. They have been canceled because of that tweet. Later this week, Lakers and Nets in China. Rockets ownership immediately distancing from Morey and apologizing to China. Chinese sponsors immediately pulling the Rockets. The NBA's response? We recognize that the views expressed by Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey have deeply offended many of our friends and fans in China, which is regrettable. Commissioner Adam Silver today saying, we're a values-based organization. We want to make it clear Daryl Morey is supported in terms of his ability to exercise his freedom of expression. Today, James Harden, while standing next to Russell Westbrook, quote, we apologize, we love China, end quote. Ramona Shelburne, how do you consider all this?
Listen, I've learned more about the issue with China and Hong Kong in the last 48 hours because of this. And I think it's an example of how sports shines a light on the rest of the world. We go all the way back to ping pong diplomacy in the 1970s when the U.S. ping pong team played against China and we started opening up China to these discussions. You know, people on both sides of this issue, whether you're in mainland China, in Hong Kong, or around the world, feel very strongly about their positions. And I think it's important for all of us to read about it, to try to understand what's really going on. And I think right now, every NBA player in the world who goes to China over the summer, mostly to sell shoes as part of tours with their shoe companies, is having that same conversation right now.
But it's even more immediate than that. I mean, the Nets and the Lakers are going to be there now, right? This is happening right before us. First, do you believe Daryl Morey's job's in jeopardy, Ramona?
At the moment, I do not. But as you say, the Nets and Lakers are there. Every star in the NBA, every coach is going to be asked about this. Let's see where this goes this week, because I think it's an ongoing conversation.
Do you believe the NBA is talking, considering not playing that game?
Not right now, I don't think so. But again, this is a volatile issue, and I think it's going to, I think we're at the beginning of it, and I think we're at the beginning of the conversation. And so I can't really predict where this is going to end, but I know that this is not the first conversation.
Woody Page, how do you consider it all?
Well, I think the NBA should play the exhibition over there involving the Lakers, because let's find out what the reaction is. We've heard, oh, the people are so upset over there. Well, let's find out how they actually treat the NBA when it goes over there. Secondly, I understand the Constitution, Ramona, and it's not about freedom of speech and expression from a business standpoint. It's from the federal government. So I think as an executive representing a team in the NBA, he was mistaken by his tweet. If he wants to support the friends he has in Hong Kong, he can do that privately. But I don't think representing the league that that's responsible acting. And I don't think he should be fired, though, as a result of it. I think he continues to respond and rethink his position in regard to what he tweeted. There is no solution for tweeting about a political issue. We've all found that out. And I just think that the NBA has to tread lightly here, because they do have that multi-billion-dollar relationship with China, and that's
well. Then you're saying this is about money and money only. Israel Gutierrez, how do you view it all?
I mean, I believe it becomes about money because of this. Because what was Daryl Morey hoping to accomplish with that one tweet, right? You are an employee of a billion-dollar organization in the Houston Rockets and a greater, more money-making operation in the NBA. And yet, what seven words? You're trying to bring attention to a topic. That's one thing. You're trying to help people that you believe to be in need is something else. But if you are sitting there saying, I'm going to make a political statement on my Twitter account when we know all of this is at stake, I think it was just a mistake for Daryl Morey. And the NBA is going to have to essentially weigh whether they want to hang beside or stand beside Daryl Morey or just deal with the consequences if he does get fired. I think one of them cost them a lot less.
So you believe his job is in jeopardy, Israel?
I believe, as Ramona said, that still is a continued story, but I believe it will come up again, yes.
Kevin Blackstone?
Well, I don't think it was a mistake for Daryl Morey to express his sympathy for a movement against authoritarianism being implemented into Hong Kong, a struggle that has been going on now for 4 months that reportedly has injured 1,100 people, reportedly now has live gunfire in the streets, which injured a couple of people, which reportedly has left a journalist covering all of this blind. This is a very serious situation. I will say this about the NBA. It's not the only multinational corporation that finds itself in this pickle. The Gap, the Marriott right here in the States is also also having trouble finding its footing on this issue.
But let me ask you this, Kevin. You may have even heard this side conversation going on. We've seen the NBA and how they responded to certain issues, Donald Sterling being one of them, transgender bathrooms. They canceled an All-Star game in North Carolina because of that. You could even point to Enes Kanter and Turkey as an example. When you view it through that, this approach, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think the NBA has been on both sides of some fences, right? I mean, on the other hand, I also remember that they came down very hard in the beginning on the WNBA women who were protesting against police lethality against unarmed black men in this country. And they rescinded that only after public pressure. I'll also add this. You know, no one said anything from the NBA about what the people in Hong Kong are fighting for. And it would have been good to hear that to balance out their message as well.
Mona Shelburne, Israel Gutierrez, thanks for your thoughts on this. Woody Page, Kevin Blackstone. We'll be back in 2 minutes with a showdown.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Woody Page, Kevin Blackstone, a dreaded vote of confidence for Atlanta Falcons head coach Dan Quinn, and whatever the exact opposite of that is for Jay Gruden. The Patriots beat Washington 33-7 yesterday. Can you fire a coach after losing to the Patriots like Washington just did? Woody Page?
No, I mean, they were going to lose to them, but I think they did it because they're playing the Dolphins. They finally have a chance to win a game. You don't fire that coach, though. John Gruden is not the problem.
It's Jay Gruden, so that is part of the problem.
He was fired not because they lost to the Patriots, but because they started this season off 0-5. And this isn't so much a reflection on Gruden. This is really just a reflection on the ineptitude of this entire organization.
Can't say anything more than that. FaceTime, Kevin Blackstone.
You know, if there's one thing we like to celebrate in sports, it is the athlete who plays through injury. We've talked about Jack Youngblood and the broken leg. We've talked about Kerry Strug sticking that landing on that badly twisted ankle. We've had it all sorts. Well, if you missed Elena Delladon over the weekend, you missed another one that she will go down the record books. She has a herniated disc. She played 4 minute spurts. And in the time that she wasn't on the court, she was often back in the locker room getting treatment on her back and then coming out and helping lead her team to victory. Elena Delladon, a true MVP in the WNBA.
Peace. Kevin Blackstone, today's champion. That's going to do it, folks. Thanks for coming around. We're on a 23-and-a-half-hour break. Hey, Yankees fans, you can't go after a guy for driving for Uber. Ooh.